Pull out your Bibles. I want you to be ready to turn. We're going to go to the Scriptures. We're going to start with 1 Thessalonians. As you're turning or tapping to get there, let me just kind of frame what we're doing in this series. In the, you know, here in the beginning of the year, we're in a series called At Our Best. And so just kind of where that came from, where that title came from, is in just in thinking, who are we as Christians? If you're a Christian, who are we as Christians when we are at our best? And I just kind of have the idea that when we get ready to go somewhere, maybe we go to we go somewhere nice, go out, we get dressed up, we kind of show up with that attitude. We show up maybe to sports events or in a sporting event in the right attire with the right attitude. Dressed in the right stuff with the right attitude is what I'm thinking of when it comes to this at our best. Who are we as Christians when we show up as Christians at our best, put on our best, and who we are in the world today? The world is in need of Christians, of the church, showing up at our best. Can you say yes and amen, right? The world needs us to do that. That's our calling. That's our job. That's our the blessing from God is that in sending us into the world to show up as the people of God. And so praise the Lord. I have a message today. The title of this message is The Word of God is at Work in Us. When the church shows up, when Christians show up at our best, the Word of God is at work in us. And so we're going to frame that out and think about that. But the Word of God, just very plainly, what is the Word of God? The Word of God is the Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament. And if you brought a Bible or have your Bible with you, why don't you just wave that? You can wave it at the TV if you're at home. Just wave that to me. So if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible, but you've got to have that Bible. I brought one today, just the pocket Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Bible. We're going to talk about the Bible today. And if you are the kind of person who likes a paper Bible, you carry the paper Bible, you read your paper Bible, wave your paper Bible at me. Those of you online, just say, I prefer paper. Just put that comment in Facebook or wherever you're at. Paper is the way to go. How many of you are digital? You read the Bible digitally on a Bible app, something like that. If you're online and you want to do that, just put in there, hey, I read the Bible on my device. So I'm a digital person. When I do my devotions in the morning, I have my iPad out, and that's how I read my Bible. And so just with that, just thinking, what is the Bible and how do we have that? It is such a gift from God to us, and so incredibly important, okay? So with all of that in mind, let me just pray for us. Real quick, and then we'll open up to 1 Thessalonians. Heavenly Father, thank you that you gave us your truth, your word, your instruction for us, that we might know you and be saved. I pray for these next couple of moments that we have together, and that, Lord, you would help us to hear your Holy Spirit speak to us, inspire us, Lord God, about your word, and give us great clarity, we pray. Give me the ability to share what you've put on my heart today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read just verse 13 here. And this is, I'd like to give you a kind of a context, what this letter is about. This is in 1 Thessalonians. This is a letter to the church, to the Christians in Thessalonica by a man by the name of Paul. And he was an apostle of Jesus, the apostle Paul. And so he writes them, and he is just kind of getting going in the book, but he talks to them about how they received the Word of God. And so let's read that. He says, "When we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you, believers." So when these people came to know Christ as their Savior, came to know God as their God, because the Apostle Paul went and preached to them, and they received it. They heard it, they received it, they accepted it. And then it says, he tells them that the Word of God is at work in them. And that at work in them is where I get the title of my message today, because I'm going to talk about God's Word at work in us. So, but I want you to first notice, and if you got your paper Bible and you underline verses or words in verses, just go ahead and underline received as when you receive the word of God, and then and the word accepted, received and accepted. So I would let's think about what it means to receive something. How many of you have ever received a package before and you were excited about it? Right? How many of you track the Amazon delivery coming in on your phone? You're like, yeah, I receive it. And a lot of times you have, if it's something very valuable, there is a signature required to receive that item. And so you've got to be there. You've got to be present. I want you to think about the Word of God and as a gift from God, a shipment from God that you've got to be present to receive and to receive it. Receiving it is a delivery method. When Paul is talking to the Thessalonians here, these Christians, they received the Word of God through the delivery system of preaching. That's where the Apostle Paul went and preached to them, declared to them the Word of God, and they heard it and they accepted it, but they first had to receive it. So the first thing I want to just kind of highlight here is that if we are going to bring a and place the Word of God as it should be in our lives, that we first have to receive it. What's the delivery system? I asked you whether you like paper Bible or digital Bible, just to kind of get your mind thinking about the way in which you receive the Word of God. How do you receive it? You're listening to my voice. I'm preaching from the Word of God about the Word of God. And so right now you are receiving the Word of God through preaching. But there's also the direct method of just opening up your Bibles and reading, and in the reading you are receiving. And for those of us who have been called to teaching and of the Word of God, you know that one of the ways that we receive the Word of God as teachers is through the preparation and study of the Word of God. All Christians actually can study the Word of God. That's a way that we also receive. So it's not just reading, but that, not to diminish that, but there's a study of the Word. Let's see how this works out, how the pieces of the Scriptures come together and teach us doctrine of God and understanding of God and instruction from the Lord. There's the receiving of that Word of God. So the Word of God has to be received. The Word of God also has to be accepted. And that's what he says here. He says, you received it from me through preaching, but you've also accepted it. And he says, you, and just to go back and reread that, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is the Word of God. We have to accept the Word of God. There's plenty of people in the world that read the Scriptures, but they don't recognize it as Scriptures, that it's just a good book, that there's lots of good advice in it, and there's some benefit to it, but not really receive it as it is the Word of God. He says you don't receive it as the Word of men, but you receive it as the Word of God. And that is our approach to Scripture. That is my approach to Scripture. That is our approach to Scripture here at our church, is that when we open up the Bible, read the Bible, study the Bible, preach the Bible, hear the Word of God being preached, that's what is at stake here, that the Word of God, the Scriptures, is from God to us. And that changes how we perceive it and how we approach it. But let me get to the real point that I want to make here, is that when we receive it and accept it, that Paul says it's at work in you. At work in you. How many of you have ever seen a sign driving down the road, caution, men at work? And you get down there and no one's doing much work. No, just kidding. We have some road crew construction guys, and I know those guys work. But men at work, just a warning that something is happening. Some stuff is getting torn out. Some stuff is getting built back. That when we come to this, that when we read and accept the Word of God, God is at work in us. The Word of God is working in us, taking out some stuff, building up other things, at work in us. At work in us. So I was thinking, give me another illustration, Lord, of what it might be to have this image in our minds, that when we receive the Word of God and accept the Word of God and work in us. And there was this old comic strip that popped into my mind called Popeye the Sailor Man. How many of you ever saw or how many of you have never seen Popeye the Sailor Man before? Raise your hand. Oh, some. Okay, so if you're online, you've never seen Popeye the Sailor Man, go ahead and give me a thumbs down on Facebook. I've never seen it. Okay, so let me just give you the gist. It's the same story no matter what comic or no matter what episode it is. So there's a guy by the name of Popeye. He's a sailor man. He is a mild-mannered, calm individual with, he's really puny except for his massive forearms. And he has a love of his life, and her name is Olive Oil, right? He loves Olive to the, just, he's willing to die for Olive, okay? But there's the bad guy in the story, and his name is Brutus. And Brutus, pretty much every episode, kidnaps at some point Olive and ties her up, and Popeye comes to rescue his the love of his life, and Popeye's like, let her go. And Brutus is like, no, I'm not going to let her go. Yes, you are going to let her go. And so they start fighting. Now, Popeye is puny, but Brutus is enormous. And so Brutus beats the tar out of Popeye. Every episode, it's like. So beats the tar out of Popeye until Popeye finally gets the idea, oh, if I just eat my what? Spinach. If I eat my spinach, this will turn it around. So Popeye from nowhere pulls out a can of spinach, pops it open, which is where the expression comes, opening a can, right? So he opens a can of spinach, pours in the, and he swallows the spinach, and all of a sudden he gains superhuman strength. The tables are turned, he grabs Brutus and beats the daylights out of Brutus, and then he rescues Olive Oil, and it's the end of the episode, right? So that was Popeye. What was at work in Popeye? Spinach. For those of you who have never seen Popeye the Sailor Man eat spinach, I would give you, for my younger audience, probably the result of Popeye's eating the spinach is the same as the scene in Avengers where Loki spouts off to the Hulk, I am a god. And then Hulk grabs him and, like a sledgehammer, destroys the entire room with Loki's head, you know, and then at the end, Loki is laying there in a heap of brokenness, and the Hulk says, puny god. End of scene. So spinach was at work in Popeye, but the word of God is at work in you. The word of God is at work in you. And when we receive the word of God, accept the word of God, it is at work in us to prepare us, strengthen us. So let me take you to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to see just some of the ways. I'm bringing you here because so much happens in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 as a direct result of receiving, accepting, and the word of God at work in us, that I think that we need to hear it today. Ephesians 6, chapter 10, verse 18. We're going to read the whole thing. I know it's a long passage, but you're tough. You got it. We got to get it in you, right? So finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay, think of this. I mean, just go back to the illustration there. Popeye and Brutus at war. There was a war between these guys. So put on the armor of God is like eating that spinach, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, therefore having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. How many of you are still with me? Right? All the darts of the evil one, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So here is And a lot of people think, scholars think, that when the Apostle Paul writes this that he's in prison, and he is literally looking at a Roman guard guarding him. And if he's not doing that live, there were Roman guards and soldiers around often, and Paul spent a lot of time in prison for the preaching of the gospel. Everybody would have had a working knowledge of the uniform, of the armor of that Roman soldier. And so he's taking each of those pieces of armor and he's attaching them to some truth, some doctrine, some application that the Christians could relate to and say, you know what? I'm getting ready for battle. I'm understanding the world in which I live, and I'm going to be ready. I'm going to stand. I'm going to be prepared. I am going to wrestle the fight that I have been given, and because of God's word, I will be victorious. So putting on that full armor of God is so incredibly powerful. Let me give you a doctrinal statement, okay? When I say doctrinal statement, I mean, what do we believe? What do I believe? What does this church believe? And what I believe all Christians really need to believe, and it's this, that the Bible is our all-sufficient rule for faith and conduct. That the Bible is our all-sufficient rule for faith and conduct. When it says faith, replace that word and just say doctrine. Right? The Bible is going to tell us everything that we need to know about God, how to know God, how to receive God, how he's created everything, see him in his authority, see him in his passion, see him send his son, see his son die for us, all of that, all of those doctrines of how we know God and come to know God and receive God. Our faith is the rule of faith. And then we receive that information and we form our ideas and our framework of understanding who God is. And then we need to have that conduct that says, you know what, I'm going to not only receive it as information, but I'm going to believe it. And that changes how we think and who we are and how we live. So the Bible is our all-sufficient rule for faith and conduct. The word of God is the rule. I brought with me today a ruler. All right. How many have ever had your knuckles smacked by one of these? Okay. Sorry to bring up that illustration. But what is a rule? A rule is our ruler here in the United States is confusing. Because on one side, it gives us inches. And on the other side, it gives us centimeters. Because we cannot make up our mind. But a rule, let's just go with how I understand the ruler most of the time. There's 12 inches on here, 1 foot. This ruler is 1 foot. It's 1 foot in Leechburg. It's 1 foot long on Mars. It's 1 foot long on the moon. I could take this to L.A., to Hollywood. I could take this to the middle of Wyoming. It's still going to be 1 foot. I could get on a plane, it's still 1 foot. I could land in Beijing, Moscow, Paris, London, South Africa, Cape. I mean, all of it. It's going to be 1 foot no matter where I go. Can you say yes? It's 1 foot long. I could take it to Washington, D.C., and it would still be 1 foot long. It's a rule. Right? It's a rule. It's a ruler. It's 1 foot everywhere. Let me show you. And even it's going to be 1 foot whether I use it as an instrument to measure or not. Right? Like, what you do with a ruler is you take it out and you go, oh, okay, so that, oh, my iPad is exactly 12 inches wide. Huh, cool. Oh, my podium, let's see, 11 and a half inches. Okay? So the ruler is used to measure. Whether you're using it as a tool of measurement or not, it's still 1 foot long. You with me? All right, let me put down this ruler and pick up this rule. The word of God is an all-sufficient rule in all times and in all circumstances. in all places. The Word of God is the rule of God no matter where you are. It doesn't matter where city you are. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter any which way, one way or the other, no matter where you go, the rule of God is the Word of God. And even if you're not using it to measure your life, it still is the rule, right? So think about that. The Bible is the all-sufficient rule of faith and conduct. How would we know otherwise? Let's tie in where we just were reading there in Ephesians on this armor of God. How would we know about the belt of truth if we hadn't first learned it from the Scripture? How would we know that we can have a belt of truth except that the Word of God tells us that we have a belt of truth and we need to put it on? We first had to receive it and accept it. What is the Word of truth? Well, Jesus very, very emphatically describes and proclaims himself as being the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's true. That's the Word of God. It is truth. How many of you have ever heard the phrase fake news? Right? Fake news. It's like every other sentence on from some people's mouths. It's fake news, fake news. Right? How do you know what the truth is? I'm so frustrated. Let me just digress just here for a minute. You can pray for me. I don't know who to believe anymore. Turn on this channel, they say one thing. Turn on another channel, they say another thing. It's not news anymore, it's all opinion. Right? Whose opinion matters? Let me tell you what. I can put all of that away and pick up my Bible and know this is true. And I can use the Word of God as the rule of faith and conduct and say, you know what? This opinion is bonkers. This is not an opinion I need. Why? Because the Scriptures, the Word of God, is at work in me. And I can understand the world in which I live because that book describes to me what true reality really is. And it doesn't matter how old I am or where I am or how I want to think or what I think, that book is the rule of God. It's the belt of truth. What else does he say? He says here that we can then put on the breastplate of righteousness. How do we know about God's righteousness except that we have received and accepted and the Word of God is at work in us? What is the righteousness of God? Very plainly and simply put, the Bible describes to us the righteousness that is God, the righteousness that God is, and then is in comparison to the unrighteousness that we are. So the Scripture, as you read it, it's going to like, God is all righteousness, and the Bible is going to quickly expose in our hearts and lives that we are not that. And we need that righteousness. The Scriptures are also going to tell us that we are going to be held accountable according to that righteousness, but that God, through His grace and through His mercy, sent His only Son, Jesus, into the world to die for us so that we could have and obtain the gift of God, which is the righteousness of God. Right? How do we know about the breastplate of righteousness unless we've read the Scriptures, taught the Scriptures, studied the Scriptures, heard the Scriptures preached and taught to us? We won't know about that righteousness. The shoes of the gospel of peace, and I think the shoes of the gospel of peace are work boots. But notice here the contrast and comparison. He first starts in this section or in this passage by talking to us about how we're in this wrestle, we're in this battle, and that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but all this evil stuff that's behind the scenes and how to understand that. And then he comes and he says here about the boots of the gospel is the gospel of peace. That juxtaposition between wrestling and fighting and peace comes out very clearly in this passage that if we're going to be the workers of the gospel, taking on our boots and being in the gospel in this world, we have to take the gospel of peace. That the battle that we're in is not fighting against humans, what do we bring to humans? The gospel of peace. The battle is in the spirit. But we have that gospel of those shoes ready to take the gospel to every creature on the earth. Then the shield of faith. Here we go. How do we know what faith is and how to use faith and how that is built up in us, except that we have received, accepted the Word of God, and it is at work in us. The shield of faith, which he then says is able to extinguish the flaming darts of the enemy. Let me think. You know, if you feel like you've been shot through with darts, flaming darts, and your life is like, I've been wounded. I'm shot through. Someone is shooting arrows at me. Then here's your verse. Come back to the scriptures and know who you are in Christ Jesus. The shield of faith, able to extinguish every flaming dart. Romans 10:17 tells us this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And with that, going back to Ephesians, we're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Then he says, take on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. How would we know except that we have received and received and accepted the word of God? Let me take you to 2 Timothy. Turn or tap quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a young protege, Timothy, and he tells him, and Timothy is a pastor, he says, and how from childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which he's referring to back to that Old Testament scriptures in our Bibles, the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. Now watch what he's going to give us, a couple of lists, things in this list. Some of them are going to teach us doctrine. Some of them are going to teach us practice. He says, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It all comes back to that word of God with which we're in pretty bad shape, pretty ignorant. And then, well, let's finish out here. It says, then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying in the Spirit, right? So he goes on, talks all these pieces of the armor, and then he talks about the praying in the Spirit. It's not described as a piece of the armor, but there's one piece of the Roman armor that's missing from his description. And I think that he's talking about the spear of that soldier is the praying in the Spirit. And we're going to talk next week more about prayer. But without the Word of God received and accepted and at work in us, the Bible describes the kind of person who is without the Word, who is without the truth, who is without this relationship with God in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it's not on the screen, just listen. I'm just going to read bits of this, but he says that in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Blinded without the word of God. Ephesians 2 says this, they would be separated from Christ, strangers from the covenants of promise. How would we know of the promises of God unless we've received and accepted them and then be at work in us, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians 4, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wave of doctrine, carried about by the wind of doctrine and human cunning by craftiness and deceitful scheming, right? So without the word of God, we're tossed separated, to and fro, unable, unsure, and blinded. But with the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? That when we show up in the world the way that we need to, we show up with the Word of God at work in us, ready to battle, ready to rescue, ready to stand, salvation, righteousness, truth, sword of the Spirit, gospel shoes with prayer. We are ready, armed, ready to preach, teach, live, share the very thing this world needs the absolute most, Jesus Christ. Amen. Worship team, will you guys come back up? The Word of God is at work in you. Let me draw this back to what something that we can just put handles on and walk away with today. As I was preaching, as we were reading out of Ephesians there, and all these bits and pieces of armor and how they relate, was there a part of that armor that you feel is particularly lacking in your life today? The one that sticks out to me the most is the one that guards our heart, the most valuable part of our body, and that is the helmet of salvation. Do we know Jesus Christ in such a way because we've received and accepted, and it's at work in us, the strength and the power of His salvation, that He's given His life for you so that He could give His righteousness to you? And I just pray for you, if you stand here or sit here or online, wherever you're at, and you say, I don't have that, I don't know that salvation, let me just ask you just to open up your heart to God right now. I've preached it, right? I've delivered it. You've received it, but will you accept it? And say, yes, God, I will follow Jesus. Will accept Him as my Savior, my Lord, my righteousness. If you'll say yes to Jesus today, I can guarantee you He begins a relationship with you that will never end, a life that never ceases. Even if this body of ours dies, because they all will, our life is held with God because of what Jesus Christ has done. We'll live for eternity with Him. If that's something you need and desire today, would you just say, yes, that's me today. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person who said yes in need of your salvation today. I just pray a prayer, Lord, and I ask anybody who said yes just to pray along with me something out of your heart like this. Put it into your own words, but just say, God, forgive me of my own sin and my own lack of unrighteousness, and I need you to come and save me, rescue me, forgive me, give me your righteousness. Lead me today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's just one of our spiritual needs. Maybe this armor, the scriptures of the armor, has brought up another weakness in your life, and you say, I need more of that in my life. Then let me ask you, how are you receiving the Word of God? You say, well, I receive the Word of God when I come to church on Sunday. That's great. That's true. But don't let that be the only time during the week that you receive. We need to open up our Bibles. And like I said, it doesn't matter if it's on digital or it's on paper, but receive. Open up. You've got to read it. You've got to hear it. You've got to study it. You've got to start applying it to your life, because God is at work in your life when you do it. Let me close in prayer. Father, I just thank you for every person here or online, that you would just bless them, encourage them, remind us all to open up our scriptures, to hear and read from you. We love you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.